Hello, and welcome to another episode of Sci-Fi Elements podcast. So, unfortunately, my first version of Game of Thrones season finale that I supposedly published on Sunday night, Monday morning, was deleted somehow. I take full responsibility. Operator error. Anyway, this is, I'm doing it again. I don't think I can redo all the excitement I had on Sunday night. I went to the grocery store and just told random people in the Tyrion lives. Can you believe it? They thought I was high or something. And I did spoil it for a few people who were waiting to get home to watch it. So sorry, random people. yes, Tyrion lives. We finally get to the Three-Eyed Raven, Bran's journey. It completed a lot. And then it completed the Battle of the North with Mance Rayder and Jon Snow and the Wall, the Men of the Night's Watch. And there was a really cool thing with Arya as well. So what happened in the Wall, episode 9, was all about the Battle of the Wall, the whole episode. So many of us were waiting for a conclusion for Tyrion, but we did have to wait another week. Thanks, HBO. So Mance had an army of 100,000 and was just, would eventually like take over Castle Black. We find out he had sent 400 over the wall as reinforcements, for the Thens and the other wildlings who attacked Castle Black from the weaker side. And, the giant who killed Gren in the tunnel. We find out he was the giant king, and he basically destroyed both gates. So it wouldn't take much to launch a full force and knock out those gates and purge Castle Black. So Mance had really won the battle. Jon Snow had surrendered himself, and he was going to negotiate terms, which I think was a great leadership thing to do. And everyone in Castle Black, all the former leaders, are dead, except the master builder, the guy who was on the wall in episode 9, and he didn't know what to do, so he just made up stuff. And then Gren lied and said, "Oh, we got word that you're supposed to go down to Castle Black." So who knows who's going to be in charge of the Men of the Night's Watch in Castle Black next season? Hopefully, it's Jon. So basically, at the last minute, Stannis comes to the rescue. I don't think that really was conveyed in the episode, but anyway, Stannis, you get hints of this in episode 8, where Melisandre and Selyse, Stannis's wife, are talking in the tub scene, and Melisandre says, she mentions the North and how important that is. So I think that that's great. I mean, Stannis, he got funding from the Iron Bank, and he's thinking about the whole realm and not just him being king. So he could have invaded King's Landing again, but he chose to save the realm. And I think that there's, some other reason behind that too. I don't even know if Melisandre has told him everything. Because she has a plan, and we're still not sure if the plan is hers or if it's really is the Lord of Lights. And it is a little creepy that Stannis' daughter went with them. I mean, why? I don't know. Melisandre has sacrificed so many people just at random in Dragonstone that we've seen in previous seasons. I'm a little worried for Stannis' daughter because she's so sweet, teaching Sir Davos to read and everything. So Stannis saves the day at the wall and takes Mance Rayder prisoner and a bunch of other people prisoner. And yeah, again, John shows leadership and tells Stannis to take Mance prisoner. And I don't know what they're going to do with 100,000 wildlings. they obviously can't keep them all prisoner. I didn't even know what they're going to feed him and Stannis's army, because Castle Black didn't have very much food to begin with. And one of the sweetest things from this episode was John takes the body of Ygritte north of the wall and puts her on a funeral pyre. And, you know, he doesn't want her to turn into a zombie, of course. So he basically buries her and sets her free in north of the wall so she could die free. I just thought that was really sweet. He silently says goodbye to her. And it really shows, you know, how much he was truly in love with her, even though they had different ideals. And, you know, Mance's motivation wasn't about conquering. It was about survival. Because the White Walkers would have killed everyone, all the wildlings, all life north of the wall. So his motivation was organizing everyone to get south of the wall for protection. Yeah. So you can imagine an army of 100,000 zombies led by White Walkers. That would have been much more devastating. White Walker giants and everything else. That was the Watchers on the Wall episode 9, when the giant archer like shot that guy on top of the wall 700 feet. That was pretty cool. I'm definitely going to watch that episode again. So that's the North. And, you know, we're seeding things for, the next season. And if you haven't read the books, season 4 ends about at the end of book 3, A Storm of Swords. So I'm thinking about getting book 4 and 5 and reading those before the next season. But I don't know. I kind of like to be surprised. You know, like The Mountain and the Viper, the most shocking thing since the Red Wedding. I don't think the Purple Wedding was that shocking because we all wanted Joffrey to die. I was basically waiting someone to get fed up and just kill him out of rage. But when Oberyn died, that was so sad. And actually, episode 9, at the back of my mind, I kept seeing Oberyn and hearing him scream. You know, that kind of overshadowed that whole episode, unfortunately. But episode 10, the final one this season, was pretty cool. And there were so many things that were awesome. And across the Narrow Sea, we have Daenerys, Khaleesi, Stormborn, Mother of Dragons. and what was it Drogo called her? The Light of My Moon or something? Oh, so sweet. So Khaleesi is having trouble governing. She's having trouble ruling as a queen. And when one history teacher wants to be enslaved again for better living conditions, and it goes against everything that she's stood for. She's about freedom and setting the slaves free. And then you see the evidence of one of her dragons had killed like a 3-year-old girl, and it just crushes her that, you know, basically her progeny could do that. And I think that she's realizing that she's losing control of a lot of things, even her dragons. And then she lures the two remaining dragons in the city of Marine into the catacombs, and she puts them in chains, and that just, oh, it was so sad. Because, I mean, that's, she's about freedom, and then she has to enslave her dragons. I think, though, that when the Targaryen history, that the dragons were chained at an early age, just like a horse is tamed. A horse is broken. And then when a horse is born in captivity, they're trained right away. So she needs to start putting saddles on the dragons and riding them. And hopefully we will see that in the next season. Because that was the history of the Targaryens. I think they mentioned in earlier seasons, like 300 years previous was the last dragon in Westeros. Something like that. And at that time, all the Targaryens, they trained the dragon. It's funny how How to Train Your Dragon 2 is out in theaters. So maybe she needs to watch that movie. I don't know. So the past Targaryens, they each had their own dragon. And each one had their own personality. But when it came to war, then they would just ride and burn everything. Kind of like the Nazgul used in the Lord of the Rings, only they breathe fire. So I'm really hoping we will see more. We will see more of Khaleesi and dragons. Yeah. I think we need to see more of the White Walkers and dragons, and maybe a little less, you know, political turmoil in King's Landing. I think we've had enough of that. I want to see the cool stuff. Go for it. So we finally see the final destination of Bronn and his party. Brandon Stark, the one who was crippled very early in the entire series, because he witnessed Jaime Lannister and Cersei getting freaky in the abandoned tower at Winterfell. And then Jaime pushed him out the window. He survived, but he was crippled. So he survives Theon's attack and Hodor and his brother and Osha. And then the two Reed twins, Mira and Jojen. And they're from the Swamp Kingdom or the Bogland. Anyway, Jojen is a warg. He can project himself into animals, and he teaches Bronn how to do that. And Rickon, his brother, and Osha, I don't know where they are, but they left quite a while ago. I don't know. Maybe Rickon is the future king of Winterfell. I don't know. We'll see what happens. Anyway, we see they're traveling north. It's obvious they've been traveling quite a long time in the desolate wastelands. They get attacked by skeletons, just like Jason and the Argonauts, skeletons. So I guess they're really old zombies. And they're like under the snow, and their hands creep up. And unfortunately, Jojen is killed by one of them. Bronn uses his warg powers to enter Hodor again, and he turns into a fighting machine, which is pretty cool. And Mira, with her axe, is really deadly, and she kills a bunch of them. But they're overwhelmed, and they're saved by the children. I'm still not sure if that's singular or plural or both. Anyway, a child throws fireballs at the skeletons and saves them. And we find out that she was, the children are like, they're little people. So kind of like hobbits are little people. And they're the original inhabitants of that land of Westeros. In the Fist of the First Men episode, in the previous season, there's... we learn that the First Men are the first men to come to Westeros. I know, obvious. And Westeros was already populated by the children. And they were forced out of the land. Now we find out they were forced into the north. So they're like a dying race, I'm imagining. And something else is that they're connected to the Weretrees. The Weretrees are those white trees with the faces on them. And something Cersei said early on is that the Weretrees were like cut down long ago. And I think that that was the time when like the deities shifted in Westeros. So, you know how Catelyn Stark always says, I swear by the old gods and the new. I think that's around the time that the new gods came about. So some of them were renamed, and then the old gods were kind of forgotten about. And the new gods are more of the religion of the South. And I think that the cutting of the Weretrees down had something to do with that. I think that, the Weretrees are like all connected, kind of like the spirit of the land. And so Bran and Mira, Hodor, and Summer, the direwolf, he kills one of the skeletons. And the children, they enter the cave. The skeletons try to come in, and then they just fall apart because it's protected by magic. And then Bran meets the three-eyed raven, and it's this really, really old man who's connected to the root system of the Weretree. And I'm thinking that's like the first Weretree or something. And he hints that like each Weretree is like a camera. like street light cameras in modern day society, so that he can like see everything that's going on. Obviously just in the north, because the southern trees have been cut down. So maybe like all the Weretrees are connected, and we're not sure what the old man's role is, but he tells Bronn that he'll never walk again, which is what Bronn thought that he was journeying to the north for, but he'll fly. So I'm assuming Bronn is like going to take the old man's place and become that, and maybe return something to Westeros that it's lost. I don't know if we can plant new Weretrees in the south, but hopefully something will be returned. And we still don't know why the White Walkers are, how they existed, how they came into existence, and then why they're going batshit crazy and attacking everybody. Winter's coming. I mean, maybe it's, I don't know. I think the spirit is broken and then the White Walkers just go crazy. That's my hypo theory. We'll see. Yeah, so it's sad that Jojen was killed, but he was already dying from, what we've seen previously. It wasn't a shocker, but it was still sad. Okay, this is the moment you've all been waiting for. The fate of Tyrion. So Jaime, in a previous episode, I just kind of like joked, well, what am I supposed to do? Kill all the guards and set you free? And that's exactly what he did. So he made a deal with Varys, and he was waiting behind this door, and all Tyrion had to do was walk up the stairs, and Varys would get him out of the city. But at the last moment, he's like, he pauses, Tyrion pauses, and using his vast knowledge of King's Landing, you know, he knew all the plans to the castle and everything about it. And he used that to defend the city, I guess in season one, the Battle of Blackwater Bay. Or is that season two? I guess that was season two. Yeah. So he uses that knowledge, and then there's like a secret passage into Tywin's chamber. Oh, and by the way, this airs on Father's Day. So I think that's why there was a missing week in Game of Thrones for no apparent reason. They wanted this episode to air on Father's Day. So he sneaks in, and you know, I'm not even sure if Tyrion knew what he was going to do. Maybe he was just going to confront his father, Tywin. But he enters there, and then he sees Shay, the one woman he's fallen in love with. I mean, I guess Jaime paid a whore to pretend to be harassed by ruffians, and then Tyrion defends her, and then he falls in love with the first whore, and then he falls in love with this one. But you know, so he was truly in love with Shay, and it did really hurt him when Shay testified against him, because he had paid for her to be sailed out of the city, because it was just too dangerous for her to be in the city. It hurt him to push her away. It hurt him that she was testifying against him. And all the while, she was hiding in Tywin's chambers and sleeping with him and calling him her lion, just like she did with Tyrion. So Tyrion confronts Shay, and Shay tries to kill him, and then he strangles her with the necklace of the hand, Tywin's necklace. So yeah, that was really traumatic for Tyrion to experience all the shocking moments, and then having to kill the one that he loves so dearly, out of defense, really. But then something clicked in Tyrion, and his mind was made up at this point. And then he grabs the crossbow and then finds his father on Father's Day, on the privy. And it's funny because he's reading while, taking a dump. What happens in modern society happens in Westeros. And Tywin tries to talk him out of it. And, Tyrion's mind is already made up the moment that Shay dies. There's no, and Tyrion just wants an explanation of some things. He just wants to voice it. And in that way, that's the closure that Tyrion has wanted and has cherished his whole life, really, from Tywin. And then I think Tywin just says horror too many times about Shay. But I still think as soon as Tyrion grabbed the crossbow that his intentions were clear and he wasn't going to waver. He just wanted the explanations from Tywin. So Tyrion kills Tywin while he's going to the bathroom. And by the way, that's the best chance, the best opportunity to kill someone. And I think that can be applied to James Bond or anybody. You want to assassinate someone, they got to take a dump at some point. That's the perfect time. And not too many people have toilet guns or weapons inside your toilet area. So whether it's a privy or a bidet, or you got to take a dump somewhere. So Tyrion does that. And then he goes to the door, and Varys is still waiting for him. and Varys smuggles them away in a crate, and then all the bells start ringing in the castle. And I think it's quite clear to Varys that since it took so long, and I think it's quite clear to Varys that it took so long for Tyrion to get there that he couldn't be back at King's Landing inside the castle in time. And so now since he's not there, he's kind of implicated as being a guilty party. So his hopes are crushed because he was, had kind of a cushy job. And everyone looked to him for secrets and messages and everything else Varys did. So he lost his, very elite position in King's Landing. And, one thing that harkens back to the first season is Ned Stark kept asking Varys, like, who do you work for? Who do you serve? And Varys just responded, well, I serve the realm. So now he's sitting beside Tyrion and they're sailing off on a ship. And we don't know where they're going, but we're going to find out where, or hopefully we'll find out who Varys has been working for. I've suspected he's been working for the Iron Bank because they're like the shadow government. They're funding everything and they have vested interest in what happens in Westeros. In King's Landing that affects, all of Westeros. So maybe they're going to Braavos where the Iron Bank is located. We'll see. I definitely want to know what's going to happen with that and what's going to happen with Tyrion. I mean, right now he's in a crate. A Lannister always pays his debts, but he has no money to pay anything. So he might be in debt to Varys for the beginning of the next season. He's still married to Sansa Stark. So what does that mean? Is he going to rebuild Winterfell with Sansa? I mean, that would be lovely. I would love that. I don't know that Sansa would like that, but I definitely want to see Winterfell rebuilt, and I want to see Tyrion, as a prominent role next season instead of just little bits of Tyrion like they did at the end of this season with Daenerys, Khaleesi. So I was so excited that Tyrion wasn't executed. Yeah, I was overjoyed. Tyrion is definitely one of my favorite characters on the show and probably the best acted. I mean, the acting is incredible by everyone, even like the extras. Tyrion is definitely a pivotal character, but you know what happens when you love and hope and put so much affection on one character, it's ripped away. Seriously, you hope for a character and then it's ripped away. That's kind of what Game of Thrones is all about. So yeah, there are people who don't give a crap about any character, but I don't think they enjoy the show that much. So it's okay if there's another Mountain and the Viper episode or Red Wedding. I'm still going to, love the characters like Tyrion and Khaleesi. And Arya, she had an interesting role at the end of the episode. I think it was probably the best ending. So you see Brienne and Podrick. Podrick was Tyrion's, I guess he wasn't a squire, but he was like his trusted servant. And Podrick saved Tyrion's life at the Battle of Blackwater Bay by shoving a spear at some guy's head at the last minute. So Brienne was entrusted with Catelyn Stark to, protect Catelyn, Catelyn Stark. But then Catelyn told Brienne to take Jaime to King's Landing. to bargain for her two daughters, Sansa and Arya. So that's the history there with Brienne. And then Jaime kind of turns a new leaf after his hand is chopped off. He learns humility and he kind of learns wisdom and what's just and right in this world instead of just his own ego, you know, fanciful, concentric life. So he gives Brienne his Valyrian steel sword that was forged from Ned Stark's sword. They made two swords from that sword. Custom makes her special armor and then entrusts her to find the two Stark daughters and protect them. So Brienne is trusting Podrick's advice and they go towards the Vale and they run into the Hound and Arya. And Arya looks quite different and she figures out that it's her. And then she fights the Hound and just barely wins. She knocks him off a tiny cliff. And in so doing, Arya hides because she doesn't really trust Brienne. I guess Brienne told Arya that she had sworn an oath to protect Catelyn, but Catelyn died. And so Arya doesn't trust her because of that. But she didn't say why, that she wasn't there by her side to trade Jaime for Arya and Sansa. That was one key element that you should have said right then. Anyway, Brienne, you prove once again that you're a valiant. I guess you're not a knight, but you're really good at fighting. And you beat the Hound, which was pretty incredible. Even though I guess he was in mid taking a dump, I guess. Maybe that had something to do with it. I don't know. So Arya hides, and then she talks to the Hound. And I think that she was actually going to mercy kill him like he had requested. But then his last words to her were, "My only regret is that I didn't rape your sister."
Well...
And the Hound was on Arya's list as people she wanted to kill before she died. And she takes his silver and then just leaves him there. And so that's like her punishment to him. Because killing him would have been, you know, would have been a good thing for him. Because he was suffering and he couldn't move. And I'm sure he suffered a slow death. So she takes the white horse and rides to the nearest town. There's a ship sailing to Braavos. The captain won't accept her. And then the most miraculous thing happened. She shows him the coin that Jaqen H'ghar had given her, I guess in season 2. And she utters the words, I don't know what they are. And the captain looks at her in awe and is like, says something else in the same language and said, "Of course, you'll be my guest. You'll have a cabin." So Arya is going to Braavos and to see Jaqen. And I'm really excited about that because he's a really cool character that I loved. So I guess Jaqen will have a new face. And maybe Arya is, I guess... she'll learn to be an assassin and check off everyone on our list. I don't know. Hopefully we'll see more of that next season. Yeah, that was a really cool ending to see, you know, Arya sailing away. So I think, you know, Arya is free for the first time. The first time since she got, you know, the pointy end. And, you know, Ned Stark didn't want her to fight, but then in the first season, Ned Stark saw Arya, you know, was a fighter, and he kind of just he kind of acknowledged that in her. And I believe this is right, but didn't he hire the first sort of Braavos, the guy to train Arya? I think so. Anyway, he accepted Arya for who she was and, you know, encouraged that. So sorry about the the voice problem. So I was at the True Blood premiere last night for season 7. So anyway, yeah, I'm so sad that my first version of this podcast was deleted somehow. This is the second one. Yeah, if you haven't seen it, well, I've just spoiled it all for you. But watch it. Watch it again. Watch it many times. We have to wait a whole year for the next episode. So March 2015. Yeah, there'll be some Game of Thrones stuff at Comic-Con San Diego this year. If you're going to that, well, I'm jealous. Comic-Con screwed me over this year. They cut me out of the volunteer thing, which I've been doing, which is pretty easy. Just volunteer. They say for an hour, but it's really like over 3 because you have to wait around for a while. But it's kind of fun. And then you just get a free pass for the day. And then I made it through the epic waiting room to get my tickets for general admission, which is unheard of. And then I got some weird message and my credit card was never charged. So anyway, I lost twice this year, so I'm still going to go. If you see me, I'll be outside. I'll be outside with like 100,000 other people who don't have tickets, just having fun. So there's plenty to do. And I'll be there to interview cosplayers and take photos of your cosplay. You can follow me on Twitter for the latest and greatest comic news at Sci-Fi Elements. You can follow me on iTunes or Podomatic for podcasts. And I do have a YouTube channel. Sometimes they're podcasts. Sometimes they're actual video. If you want to be in one of my sci-fi videos, just send me a tweet or leave me a comment on my YouTube channel. And I collab. So until next time.
And winter is coming.